right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, and none of it has to do with IU playing a football game. Well, I guess maybe a little bit, but not this weekend, as they've had it canceled due to Hurricane Irma coming through Florida, and Florida internationals need to get back home and get back to normalcy. They've been in Birmingham, Alabama for a week and still got messed around up there. So they canceled the game up here, and the Hoosiers will have the week off, but they will play October 7th, their previous bye week against Charleston Southern. So it's a FCS team, a former 1AA team that'll come in and fit the bill for a home game for the Hoosiers. We've got a new commitment for Archie Miller and the IU basketball team. And the Indianapolis Colts are forced to play another 15 football games, and they'll start this weekend at home against Arizona. But going back to Indiana football real quick, Glass, they got the week off. They were going to have a week off at some point in time. It was going to be in a few weeks. I'm not sure the timing makes all that much difference, other than the fact that it does at least mess up your schedule a little bit. Now, it's early enough in the week that they had all the time in the world to kind of plan around it. Now they know what's going on. They're not facing something extraordinarily difficult as their replacement. But it does, at least throw a few monkey wrenches into the whole thing. The good news is you're coming off a win, so you don't have to stew over everything for another couple weeks.
No, you sure don't. And the other good news is part of Tom Allen's message throughout the preseason, and you saw this with the kid from Avon who was not allowed to play, has been, life's not fair sometimes, and it's how you deal with it and how you move on with it and how you adjust to the adversity and how it happens. He talked about that from the game on Saturday when he thought the Hoosiers had put Virginia away with the sack, fumble, 70-yard touchdown. Everybody's fired up, and then it's called back. The points are taken off the board, and the other team goes and scores. Well, sometimes life isn't fair. There's nothing you can do about it, so what do? You keep doing what you've been doing to get into a position to beat Virginia, and you keep that momentum going, whether it's through good film work, whether it's good weight room work, whether it's good practice work. All that's obviously all those boxes need to be checked off. So I think it kind of comes at a time where Indiana has dealt with a little adversity here for the last couple of weeks. It's not the adversity in the perhaps on the football field where it's easy for fans to say, but behind the scenes stuff, Brandon Knight hasn't had a chance to play yet. Fitzgerald can't play. You've got the penalty on Gucci. It's thrown out of the game. Guys are still celebrating with the guy saying, oh, what a great play. Right. Oh, by the way, you're ejected.
There was no flag to begin with.
There was no flag to begin with. So they've been through some of these little things, and a schedule change, I think, isn't going to bother them too much. Sure, is it different than what they had planned out? It was. There's no doubt about it. So was playing Ohio State on Thursday night on ESPN with the megacast and with Lee Corso in town and with Game Day in town. So they've had not a lot of normalcy going on this year. This is just another chapter in it, so I think they're prepared for it. I think the coaching staff is well into Plan B right now. And, Dave, I think there was some – I don't think that was ridiculous when you heard on Saturday afternoon when you were either watching games or on the internet, when you hear Florida State, Miami, Florida, UCF, all those, or USF, all those teams are either going to move games around or and they eventually cancel them. And knowing that Florida International is in Miami, and that's where the coverage was essentially all of Saturday on the cranes falling down, the cranes spinning around, the financial flooding. District is flooded. That shouldn't have been a huge surprise to anybody in that sense. Florida International, who's from Miami, spent the whole week in Birmingham. They got out of it. They got away from it.
Several teams with them, too.
And we're trying to just find some normalcy up there with Butch Davis. They played a game against Alcorn State. In Birmingham. Yeah. They've already tried the we're away from school for a week. They have probably a lot of kids, I'm guessing, from that area that go to Florida International who maybe haven't been in touch with their parents or their grandparents or their aunts and uncles, and I can understand completely why. So this started floating around on Sunday, obviously, and as Fred Glass mentioned in his release, that the first place they looked was Charleston Southern. Can't say that fast too many times on the air. Why? Because the schedules matched up. Why? It was an opponent Indiana needs on their schedule for win purposes. Let's be frank about that.
Yeah.
The Hoosiers signed up to play 12 football games this year. They're going to play 12 football games this year. They also signed up for six home games. The reason they were allowed to play an F FCS opponent was the Big Ten states. If you only have four home league games,
out of nine,
yep. You can't be the five side. You can be the four side. Right. You can add one of these teams to your schedule every once in a while or whenever that falls into play. So I get why it happened. It makes sense why it's going to happen. This team lost, I believe, 47-0 to Mississippi State in week number one. So you want a team for your second game of the year, which is now not your second game of the year, where you can take care of business, where you can go out, run some guys, run some stuff, get some players in and out, and that's what you're going to get with Charleston Southern. And now it's on October 7th, so please remember all that. Any tickets for the 16th will be null and void, so don't use any of those.
Yeah, they had a game canceled this weekend also.
South Carolina State.
Again, there was plenty of rain and wind and things up in the Charleston area.
Yeah.
But they're an FCS team. They play all FCS schools, and they usually get fit one or two in against the big guys. And like you mentioned, 49-0 at Mississippi State in their first week.
Yeah. And that,
but again, the Hoosiers need a win. Hoosiers need a home game, most importantly, is that home game.
And their fans need it too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Selling five home games, six is already tough.
Yeah.
And five would have been not optimal at all, especially when one of those is Ohio State. Those are just the facts of life. Michigan's another one on homecoming. Let's not forget that. So this game was going to be made up. Somebody was going to play here on October 7th. Now we have the answer to that question.
Well, it would have been nice, I suppose, for the Hoosiers to keep that week off after playing five games to start the season, just from a timing standpoint.
Right.
If you got anybody who needed to get some health or some rest in between going to Penn State and coming home against Michigan and then going to Michigan State and Maryland, that's a very tough stretch for the Hoosiers. It's really, it's after their Wisconsin game, their last three games. I won't say it gets easy, but it is a lot easier.
But let's remember, Indiana did not pick their bye week. That's right. How the computer spit it out. So they were fortunate in the first place, a little unfortunate to have this week happen. So if Indiana does their job against Charleston Southern, maybe that second half or fourth quarter, half of the third quarter can be a little time for maybe some other players.
Sure.
Because if the Hoosiers are firing in all cylinders, Charleston Southern, obviously they've been not displaced, but they've had some flooding in their area to deal with as well. It's not easy for these kids. They're worried about their family. They're
Absolutely.
Worried about school. They're worried about, is our classroom flooded? Can we practice? When do we get a practice? Where are we going to practice? Do we take a bus up here? Are you flying up here? Indiana gave them a nice travel allowance. I don't know how that works or covers their travel party. They got $500,000 for coming up here. That's not tremendously that's normal. That's what happens when these teams go to these places.
Yeah.
They don't go there on their own free will or the goodness of their heart. They do so to get paid and fund their athletic department, and that's part of it.
Probably a little bit more money than they'd normally get, given the short-term aspects of it, but they need it in there, and now all of a sudden the Hoosiers are playing a pair of Southern teams, Georgia Southern, Charleston Southern.
Right.
And getting a couple wins out of them, hopefully, too.
And that's why you schedule them, because you need to put some wins in the bank, because the Big Ten East is hard enough. It's hard enough every single year. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Maryland, Rutgers, and then it's Purdue every year. And whether we've had nice success against Purdue recently, they've got a new coach, they've got new belief,
You're not going to win 50 straight against Purdue.
No, you're not. And that's, again, that's part of it. You want to put yourself into a position where you can fight through some of these objectives. And the Hoosiers the last two seasons have been in must-win games the last 2 weeks of the year where they've had to win to get into bowl games. So they have a little bit of experience with that. They've had a little bit of backs against the wall. So one more speed bump in their route to breaking through and getting where they wanted to go under Tom Allen. I don't think this is going to be a huge bother.
No, it shouldn't be too big of a deal. They are 1-1 at this stage. You get the week off. And then Georgia Southern comes to town. The only thing there is don't sleep on Georgia Southern just to be safe. This isn't a great team by any stretch. They got handled pretty well in their first game also. But again, you don't want to mess around. I believe Auburn was their first game, but you don't want to mess around with it. You don't want to get too lost in your week off, but you do get to ease right back into it, and then you go to Penn State. But then again, you got a pair of home games coming back against Charleston Southern and Michigan on homecoming. So that is the road to hoe for the Hoosiers. It was never going to be easy. They still got to find a way to six, and Charleston Southern should help them get there. As you mentioned, the last few years we've talked about youngish Hoosier football teams, and this is not so much a youngish football team anymore. I mean, it's starting to get a lot of veterans that are coming up and playing a lot of snaps for it. So having to deal with a change, something like that, I hesitate to call it adversity because it's really not. I mean, the adversity is on the Florida Internationals of the world, not on Indiana. But, it's a jog in their schedule and their planning and that sort of thing. But it should be a relatively easy one to deal with. And on to Georgia Southern in a week and a half.
And I think with the coaching staff having that, hey, we just need to get through it. They're not complaining. They're not setting the tone that this is unbelievable. Oh, geez, how could this happen to us? It's business. And it didn't work out, and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it. So work hard in the film room, work hard in the weight room, and work hard at practice and get better for Georgia Southern a week from this Saturday. And I'll throw one more thing in there. It's going to be 86, 87 degrees on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's not terrible to miss one of those, especially in September.
Sure.
You might get a 63 on October 7th, which is everybody likes that a little bit more, especially when you're playing.
Yeah.
You don't want to be playing in nice, high, hot sunshine, no matter who the opponent is there. So that might conserve a little energy as well moving forward than playing in the guts and the heat of the last hurrah of summer.
And the other thing to do here is that the Hoosiers have to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback situation, if anything.
I don't think
Tom,
they are.
Yeah, Tom Allen has said that Richard Lego is the starter. Peyton Ramsey, when he got plugged in, he did not come out of the game. And does that mean anything? Well, I think that means Peyton Ramsey's probably going to get a little more time. Does he take over Richard Lego? You can see a path to that. Let's go back to why it happened. He got in the game real quickly against Ohio State and didn't have much success, so they didn't leave him in for very long. But he got put in because they needed some semblance of a running game, and they wanted a running quarterback to help him with that. Well, same kind of thing happened against Virginia. Virginia was working really hard against the Indiana running game and holding it down and not helping Richard Lego out, and Richard Lego wasn't all that accurate. Well, Peyton Ramsey, it wasn't just that Peyton Ramsey wasn't Richard Lego when he came in the game. He happened to be really productive and make really good decisions and become accurate, and his feet helped him, and all of a sudden they got some semblance of a running game going, and they made Virginia pay for their man coverage downfield. All those things happened, so it was as though a switch was kind of flipped at that point, not because Richard Lego is not any good and needs to get replaced, but because something happened, and the point there is that Ramsey was in there because something was happening right. Will that happen in the next game? Will it be the same way? That all remains to be seen, because that's all the pretty much the only playing time of Peyton Ramsey has. But Richard Lego is probably going to get at least a starting chance at this thing. And let's not forget how productive he was against Ohio State.
Absolutely. And that's where I was going with that. He was, 40-65?
Yeah.
Had a nice day, 410 yards. If Peyton Ramsey has to replace Richard Lego and play the whole second quarter because Lego's already thrown three touchdown passes and that's enough for the day,
right?
Well, that's fine. Absolutely, you're going to get Ramsey snaps. His performance last week guarantees that. It's when those snaps come about, because if you don't have to take Lego out of the game for performance, you have then the option that Indiana's offense has doubles. How are you going to prepare for these two quarterbacks? I'm not sure. I don't think that Georgia Southern, that's going to be the huge issue there. I think what you need to see from Lego is the return to the Ohio State game, where he was comfortable throwing against a pretty mean defense there and some different coverages and corners that he saw from those guys, because the accuracy has been a little bit of an issue leading up to this season, and we thought perhaps that would have been covered up in the Ohio State game, and it was for the most part. I didn't think he threw a handful of terrible passes. He didn't make some. He even mentioned he said I didn't make a couple good decisions. They didn't lead to anything poor.
Right.
But to have that go the other way, that's fine. Not everybody's going to play great all 12 games, and to have Plan B and to have the confidence now to stick in Plan B and not have to wait until the last minute, I think that's a huge tactical advantage for Indiana football. Lego can go down, take him down the field, and score on the first drive, come out for the second drive, and Georgia State changes up their coverage and drops a bunch of guys. And if it's not working, well, then Ramsey comes in and does what he does.
Right.
And if that doesn't work, guess who's going back in?
Yeah.
Lego. So you've got to prepare for both of them. That should open up more running opportunities. The wide receivers have been excellent with both quarterbacks. That's been a good problem to have as well. And I think having two quarterbacks, this isn't the NFL. I think people get a little confused sometimes when we talk about it, say, well, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily true. Xander Diamont came in and ran some stuff last year when Lego had some trouble moving the offense. This isn't a completely new system to the players or even Lego. He's dealt with this before.
Right.
So you're not throwing something at a fifth-year senior saying, oh, hey, sorry about this, to sneak this in on you. They know what's going to happen. They look like they've accepted it's going to happen. I think that's part of the battle.
Well, the question becomes long-term, for Richard Lego in particular. Here's your captain of your team. The guy's waited for 4 or 5 years to get his chance to play college football to begin with. He played most every snap. Not every snap last year, obviously. You mentioned Diamont coming in, but I played most of last last year, expected to be your starter coming in this year. The kid's got to accept it. I mean, he does, because as a captain,
and
as a leader of this
team, great news.
Well, he has for 1 week,
right?
And that's the whole thing. And I'm not suggesting he won't, but that's the thing to watch here is how much time is he not getting? Is Peyton Ramsey getting in replacement of that? How well is it going? You know, if Richard Leggo continues to be productive when he's in there, at least at times, he's going to continue to get time.
I think what
and
you're...
as long as Peyton Ramsey doesn't be, you know, completely fall off a deep end, he's going to continue to get time too. But they both,
right.
both have to accept those roles. And the harder one is the leader of the team, the fifth year guy who's a captain on the team, who's waited and waited and waited and waited and gone through three different moves of all over the nation to get somewhere to finally get a chance to play. How does he accept it becomes the entire question mark. Week one of it happening was just fine.
And here's why it was just fine. And this will be the point. Kid's 11 for his first 11, and he ran for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, not even.
I mean, you can't argue that Ramsey didn't do
if
well.
If they hated each other.
And if you looked at Leggo on the sideline, he's running up and down the sideline. You know,
which
he's the first guy down there to greet him after a touchdown.
But I think that's the point. If Ramsey is 3 for 11 and Leggo's 3
right.
for 10 and they leave him in, does he start getting a little itchy? Well, that's going to be the test of faith. That's going to be the test of love each other. That's going to be the test of this whole thing that Tom Allen is building.
Yeah.
You have to trust your coaches in that situation because it's not up to you per se.
Mm-hmm.
You've had the chance. What have you done with your chance? And no one likes to sit on the bench. You put the nice face on, you run up and down.
That's right.
Nobody likes to sit on the bench. But when you are given the opportunity to take your position,
mm-hmm.
you have to do so. That's why I was my suggestion was I'd love to see Peyton Ramsey after he threw after Leggo throws 3 touchdown passes.
Sure.
Great. Then you get 40 snaps and you get 40 snaps
mm-hmm.
and then everybody's on the same page, the same tune up, whatever it could be. That would be the best case scenario from it. What happens when Peyton Ramsey goes 3 for 11 and rushes for 12 yards and a quarter,
yeah.
that's going to be the next question. So my guess would be they would flip it back to Leggo and try something else because it doesn't seem like they're stubborn enough to stick with
it won't be,
something.
Yeah, it won't be too hard to go back to Leggo considering he is your fifth-year guy.
That's why.
He is your very accurate, throwing only for the most part quarterback.
Played on the road in the Big Ten.
He is your captain. I mean, it's really easy to say, hey, Peyton, you know, that wasn't quite good enough. And he didn't do anything wrong against Ohio State. He just only got one series to do it and nothing came of it. So, you know, they didn't go back to it later on. They thought, you know what, things are working pretty well with Richard Leggo.
Yep.
They weren't as much against UVA, and they started working really well. It was interesting that they stuck with him, that they stuck with Ramsey the entire way out, and that I'm not questioning the decision. It just makes me look long term and think, what are they going to do with it? Do
right.
they get in the point where they do that on a regular basis? I don't know, man.
Yeah, but I think the part that it was easy for everyone to accept was comes in. I think he went 3 and out first drive. I think that's how it happened. Next drive, touchdown. Next drive, touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Last drive, field goal position to end the half. So it gets you 17 points.
Yeah.
That's the 11 completions in a row to start. Touchdown run, 17 points. Oaks had to make the kick. I get it, but they were in a position to make the kick
uh-huh.
because they obviously didn't turn the ball over, didn't make any poor decisions. So when you have two quarterbacks that can make different kinds of plays and make all the plays, that's a pretty cool spot to be in. Will it last? No. Because you know why? It never lasts.
I'm
not going to be one to say that that's going to be the case all year long.
He's
play the guy it's hot.
He's a redshirt freshman, and I point out to people the following.
Freshman.
First of all, the first touchdown was a play that was made by Simi Cobbs.
Yeah.
Entirely by Simi Cobbs. Later on, they had at least 2 punt returns, one for a touchdown, one that went for another 40 yards to set him up in great field position. They had another one after that that went, 15, 20 yards or something to that effect, too. So he had some better field position. He made all the right throws. I mean, he did. He made them. He was on the money with them. He made the right decisions. He ran
no
the, ball,
turnovers.
The ball well. This was not Peyton Ramsey walked in there and became Antoine Randall-El.
Nope. Didn't turn it over. Didn't make any
bad
throws.
But the offense moved better. Everything kind of worked better with the entire that side of the team.
Yep.
So.
And he had a big monster drive there trying to kill the clock in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
When they ran it down their throat.
Yep.
Redshirt freshman quarterback, freshman tailback, moving the ball down, swallowing up clock. Now, I know it didn't result in points, but maybe that's a different call. Maybe not Ramsey's call on that either. So keep that all in mind. But what you'd like to see is the Richard Leggo that everybody talked about seeing all summer long, the Richard Leggo you saw for most of the Ohio State game,
mm-hmm.
because Peyton Ramsey's just the frosting on the cake at that point.
Yeah.
But 6'5", in the pocket, can see over everybody, can get the ball down the field. That's I think, what the Hoosiers need.
And against Georgia Southern, they need to show they can run the ball.
That's right.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Some programming notes for you, and it is fall, so we got a bunch of them for you. Got Reds baseball. They're still playing. They play tonight at 8:15. They are at St. Louis. Then on Thursday night, we've got NFL football back. Houston is at Cincinnati starting at 8 o'clock here on WGCL. Friday night returns high school football. Southport is at South. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and kickoff is 7:30 for that. Saturday, we've got a pair of things going on. We got the Reds starting at 4 o'clock. We had some changes because of cancellations and things. So the Reds are going to be on a 4. And then after that, the evening game's a big one. Clemson is at Louisville. That's been a great game the last couple years. And we're probably going to be another one this year, too. And then on Sunday, we've got a pair of NFL games. Colts are at Cardinals. Pregame is at noon and kickoff at 1. That's the Bob Lamy and the network for the Colts. And then the nightcap is Green Bay at Atlanta. And then next Monday, we've got Monday Night Football. And In the Zone is on an extended version. And that'll take us through the fall, 6 to 7:45 this coming Monday night. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Real quickly looking at the other Hoosiers, the Hoosiers of Archie Miller. Haven't heard much of them, and that means nobody's injured that we know of. That's always a good thing. But we did find out they have another commitment for 2018. So they're filling up a what looks like it'll be a five-man class, assuming there aren't any departures that we don't know about just yet. But a big man, 6'10 forward out of Harristown, Pennsylvania. His name is Jake Forrester. He did have an offer from the previous staff, but... Bruiser Flint, in particular, knows the Forrester family, is close with them. Archie Miller immediately said, yep, the offer is still good, and he is now committed to Indiana. He's the fourth commitment for that class, and I believe unless we have somebody departs early, that should leave one more grant. And, of course, the prize that everybody's shooting for is Romeo Langford out of New Albany, and Darius Garland is another point guard listed from Tennessee as a possibility. But filling up, and it seems like we've talked for the last several years about a lot of wing players coming in for Indiana basketball, and it's interesting to start seeing 6'9 and 6'10 kids more on a regular basis. You know, we've got some big names that have come in. Certainly Thomas Bryant came in, Devin Davis came in, but it just doesn't seem we've had a volume of them. So we're always talking about a 6'6 guy having to go in and back one of those guys up. It'd be nice to have some bodies that are big bodies that are supposed to be out there.
Yep, and there's not always a lot of them either. And it depends on your needs. It depends on who's in the way. It depends on if you got to have two to tango, correct? So I don't think you can ever have enough big guys. And the reason why is simple. If Archie Miller, one of his parts of his blueprint is being tough and rebounding and playing defense, well, you get guys that are tough and that are going to rebound and play some defense.
Yeah.
And having 5'6'3" and under guys isn't going to do that. They might help you on the perimeter playing some defense, but you have to be able to protect the rim. You have to be able to grab rebounds. You have to be able to alter shots. Teams that can do those things, Dave, they last longer in March, and teams that don't have those spots or don't have those spots filled. So Indiana's front court coming together nicely. Indiana's recruiting under Archie Miller, I think, is cruising along. They've now moved up to some mythical top 5 or 3 or 2 or whatever, yeah, based on paper. Well, you do that to sell that subscription service, and I don't blame them. But fans eat this stuff up. You put those YouTube highlights on. You go take a look at it. You're fired up, and that's the good news. And the one thing that jumps off the page for me on this, I don't know if you read the article. I think one of the services had it about what his dad had to say. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. Hey, you know, this is my kid. He's going to play hard. He's going to work hard. He's a 4. He's not going to be some kind of 3 or 2. He's not going to do that. This is what he does. This is how he gets after it. And the second part was Bruiser Flint's relationship with the family, and that's huge, because what is recruiting? Your dad did it for a million years. Everybody knows recruiting is 90% relationship. We have a gorgeous campus. Why doesn't everybody come here for our gorgeous campus?
Right.
We have a really nice school.
The best anywhere, right?
Why doesn't everybody come to school here? Well, there's other reasons. You have to. Not everybody gets along. Not everybody's friends with everybody. That's simple. But when you have that in your back pocket, some other things that might not be as appealing can maybe go away. And his dad said, he was in this article, he said every 15 minutes I was making sure, hey, are you gonna take care of my son? Hey, are you gonna take care of my son? Yeah, that's, people are concerned about that.
Sure.
You don't want to be another number. You don't want to be another am I gonna get any playing time? You don't want to be forced out, or you're the best of the 7 or the worst of the 7 recruits at Kentucky and you barely get a play.
Mm-hmm.
People want to know all these things. So it's exciting that Indiana's classes are filling. It's exciting that there are people out there that think these are really talented kids that are giving verbal commitments. And what do we know? Absolutely nothing till they get to campus, put their candy stripes on, the lights go on in Assembly Hall. That's when we get to know just how good they're going to be.
No, you've got to save a grant at this point in time for one of the big dogs.
I don't think so, because how oversigned was Indiana 2 months ago?
Well, but how much crap did everybody give Crean for doing it?
I'm just
saying. That was the one thing I heard repeatedly over and over and over.
But again, that's a philosophical question that Archie at some point is probably going to have to answer.
Well, and it might be in this class.
Well, and it's going to be asked, is it going to be, do you save it for?
Because they're coming fast and furious.
Do you save it for later, or do you take a guy and hope something works out down the road? Almost every year the last 5 years, Indiana was oversigned.
Yeah,
almost every single year, and it worked out.
Well, we talked about that over and over and over.
Work out, and they always, you think they're not going to find a way to get, if that happens here?
I never got nutso about that to begin with. I understand why people didn't like it, but I never got nutso because, as you said, it pretty much always worked out.
It is.
But that's the question. People did get nutso around here about that.
People don't like why it works out. But Archie Miller, I think you've heard him say once or twice that he's going to play 8 or 9 guys. So
you're not going to play 13, yeah.
You're not going to play 13 guys. I've said it a million times that we're talking about scholarships 12 and 13 here.
Right.
Now, this scholarship that's 13 could be construed as the most important 13 scholarship ever.
If it's one of the guys they're hoping for,
that's the problem. And the more the merrier. And there will be people that see the writing on the wall that are in the program and say, whoa, if those kids come in, I got no shot of getting time or whatever. But this happens everywhere. Every school has attrition, it seems like, almost annually.
And we've already dealt with this with Grant Gielon a little bit.
It's not a perfect world.
He wasn't going to play anyways. I think we all knew that. But they still are saying, hey, we don't like the way things were treated around here.
They're allowed to speak their opinion on all of that. That's completely fine. And when you move forward with this stuff, if you want to get into this, this is part of it.
Yeah. I mean,
it is.
You only got 13 of them.
Guess what happens? The players dictate what the coaches do. If your best recruit says, I'm waiting till May 1st of next year to make my decision, that puts wheels in motion. That puts plan Bs, Cs, Ds, and Es in motion.
You choose to wait or you can do something instead.
Not every kid has to choose to wait.
Yeah, that's right.
Some kids bite your hand off the second you say, here's a yes, I'll take it.
I got it. Yep,
absolutely. Done. Be there. Sign it. I'm done. Yep, I'm signing right now. Exactly.
Moving there.
And some guys have multiple options on a larger scale that have to take some more time to make said decision. It would be great if everybody was like, I don't know, James Blackman Jr., who committed his freshman year of high school. It would be great if...
or if you gave everybody a two-week window to be talked
up
to and to make a decision.
Like NBA free agency.
Yeah,
it starts at midnight officially. But that's not how the real world works. So Indiana fans who get a little squeamish talking about things like this and the free agency and the trading and the hustling of players... I don't think it's anything new. It's just something that Indiana hasn't dealt with perhaps on a higher level here in the recent past. This is part of how it works. Kentucky popped in and stole Trey Lyles after he committed, right?
That's right.
So these things happen. Mm-hmm. It's part of the game, within the game, within the game. It's fascinating. That's the only word I have for it because I've never seen Archie Miller work.
Yep.
I've never seen how he's dealt with this level of recruiting. So I am just as excited as anybody else to see how this all develops, that's for sure.
Do we care that he's from Pennsylvania?
Do we care that the kid's from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Well, so is Clifton Moore.
Instead of Indiana.
So is Clifton Moore.
I understand that, but he was signed to begin with.
I'm just pointing that out.
I know.
And
those are the two things I heard the most about Indiana recruiting.
Absolutely
was don't overcommit or don't get overcommits, and we want all the Indiana kids.
Well, they have two Indiana kids in that class.
And they're looking for a third, hopefully, if things work out the best.
And what more could you possibly want?
That's a pretty
fair balance. I don't think Bob Knight ever had five kids in a recruiting class.
Sure
it was close.
We had
Jay Edwards, it was Pat Graham, Greg Graham.
That group
Lawson,
had probably
four or five.
At least.
Yeah, Robbie. But then you had the Eggers, Ohio, Mandeville, California, Andre Patterson, Texas.
Well, that one was
Neil Reed.
That was going a whole different direction.
Everywhere. But that was a big recruiting class, is my point. That was a huge, huge deal at the time.
The Graham's class might have had five kids from Indiana.
The Graham's had two, three.
Both Grahams.
Lawson. Chris Reynolds was in that class from Peoria.
Yeah.
Who else am I missing there?
Was Nova in that class?
Chesterton.
So there's four.
Was he in that class? I can't remember. They all I run together. Those such good teams.
We'll look it up.
Such a good team. But the point is, there was
smart aleck. There was,
but I think that's fine because I think people assume everybody needs to come from here. I don't think that's the case. The case is it rarely, if ever, happened. But I think here's what people do want. What were Lyndon Jones and Jay Edwards? Co-Mr. Basketball.
Co-Mr. Basketball.
Was Steve Alford?
They want the best of the best. No question.
Was Brian Evans? Yeah, was right. Calvert-Chaney? Well, Calvert-Chaney was overlooked. We know that story now.
But
Alan Henderson.
Calvert-Chaney was part of that class.
Alan Henderson. Can't miss.
He was not. He was not, though.
Glenn Robinson, Alan Henderson played in the state final.
Right. He was a stud. No question.
Can't miss player. But from Indiana.
Correct. Yeah.
There you go.
Got to get the big guys.
Here's what Indiana fans want. The can't miss studs from Indiana.
Right.
That's it. If you get that, I think the rest of it is gravy. But we'll see what Archie's plan is moving forward, and it will be very interesting and exciting, no doubt, for Indiana basketball fans.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. When we come back,
we've put it off long enough.
The dumpster fire that is the Indianapolis Colts. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes for you, and they are numerous. Again, check out WGCLradio.com if you ever want to look at more of this, because we've got a whole bunch in the fall, all kinds of football. But tonight, it's baseball. Reds baseball, 8:15 as they are in St. Louis. Tomorrow night, it's Thursday night NFL with Houston at Cincinnati starting at 8 o'clock. Friday night, high school football returns with Southport heading to South. Kickoff is 7:30 with Chalk Talk starting at 7 there. That's a big, big game for South. They are 2-2, as are Southport, but Southport is 2-0 in the conference. Southport could not only give South a chance to get back in the conference race if they are to go to Franklin Central later this year and beat them, but South beats Southport and gets themselves back in themselves. So a lot on the line here for the Panthers. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk. Saturday, we got a couple things going on. Reds at 4, and then the nightcap is a good game. Clemson at Louisville, 8 o'clock for that. Sunday, to doubleheader, Colts and Cardinals. That starts at noon for pregame. Kickoff 1 o'clock with Bob Lamy on the pregame. And then Green Bay and Atlanta, 7:30 on Sunday. And Monday is Monday Night Football. Now, in the zone will be 6 to 7:45, so it'll be extended starting on Monday and all throughout the fall. And then Detroit at New York is the nightcap game, 7:45 for Monday Night Football. So lots going on as always. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. In the meantime, all kinds of question marks for the Indianapolis Colts, who got beat 46-9 at the Rams. There might have been 20,000 people there to watch that game. I'm sure I'm underestimating, but it sure didn't seem like many. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be for sure. Scott Tolzien had a disaster of a game, 2 pick-sixes. Jacoby Brissett came in and threw one deep pass, and he's being anointed nationally as the must-start quarterback. He admitted he didn't even know anybody's name when he showed up, nor should he, but barely knows the playbook. And Andrew Luck, apparently, according to Mike Greenberg, just decided put out a rumor that maybe Andrew Luck doesn't want to be here anymore. So all kinds of good stuff going on. Oh, and the right tackle is on injured reserve for the rest of the year. Denzel Good put on injured reserve yesterday.
Oh, no, not the seventh-round pick.
Yeah, not the another offensive lineman hurt.
The undrafted left guard or right guard that played next to Good, he is also limping around. Colts Vuji is limping around.
I can't
say his last name, so I'm not going to try. And who else? Chester Rogers should be back. Those were your big three quote-unquote injury updates today from Colts camp on that. But the Colts have more problems. The problem is that those guys are playing. Yeah. That's the Colts' issue. It's not okay, they're hurt. Big deal. They were not very good with them playing. The guys that couldn't beat them out have to play. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you there's no offensive linemen in the NFL, and the ones that are out there are like precious metals who are locked up and ready to go. The Colts have so many issues that it's almost impossible to count. And we touched on this just briefly on Monday, but besides the rookie walk-on free agent never heard a guy punter, everybody else didn't have a very sound day at the track.
Yeah.
And when you're completely turned over like that, I think that's good for one reason and one reason only. There's not a group saying, hey, the offense did our job. Hey, don't look at us. Right.
We didn't do anything. We did. We needed to.
Everybody has something to look in the mirror about.
And Snapper might have been happy. I don't know.
Denzel Good had a couple goofy ones, so I don't know about any of that. But the point is everybody's had a look in the mirror. Everybody knows that they're getting destroyed from sea to shining sea. They're getting destroyed in their home city because of their performance, not because they're bad people, not because of anything else except what they did on the field. In the league where you play for pay, if you don't like the criticism, you can go work in private business and not get yelled at by people.
Sure.
You make a ton of money. You're asked to perform.
Amazon's going to hire all kinds of people up in Indy.
You're expected to perform, and when you don't, the criticism comes with it. And that goes for the head coach as well, and that goes for the general manager as well.
Yeah.
When you can't put anything together after 9 months of rebuilding it, did you think people were going to say, it's okay, well, we wait till week four to reevaluate this? No, that's not how it works. You only have 16 games.
Well, now you got a guy hurt on the offensive line, so you have to reevaluate something. They are listing LaRaven Clark as the right tackle.
Sure.
Joe Hegg has played all over the line at some point in time.
Here's how bad
so
it is.
See.
They put Denzel Good on IR,
right,
and activated linebacker Sean Spence.
Yeah.
They didn't even replace him with an offensive lineman.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
Spence, who was released by the Colts a few weeks ago, wasn't picked up by anybody.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that happens all the time.
It does.
I mean, get Matt Jones made the practice squad. You know, this guy was pretty productive a couple years ago. They released him. Nobody wanted him. He's on the practice squad.
There you go. But again, these aren't players that were in demand at other places,
right,
where they were
right
scooped up and said, hey, you made a bad personnel decision. Maybe these guys just right aren't that good right now. So what do you do if you're the Colts moving forward? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to figure out how to stop the other team.
Right.
And a first down or two every once in a while would be nice without turning the ball over every other possession. Other than that, I think they got a really good grasp on the 2017 season, and people should be highly optimistic.
Look, I
all
don't.
All you can do is laugh.
I don't want to discount how poorly the offense played because it was horrendous. And of course, two pick sixes are going to do that for you. Let's keep in mind that, you know, you take those away, it was still 34-9.
Can I take away the safety?
For
the
Rams,
line got blown up.
For the Rams, who scored, you know, about 8 points a game last year. But that said, you're going up against Wade Phillips and some pretty good personnel on the defensive side. So is this week going to be better or worse is the first question with the personnel you have. Because as you said, you can't remake the entire team.
No, you cannot.
Between week one and week two, you've got to block somebody up front. And this offensive line that we've been talking about for several years now, it's got to do so without its starting center still.
Good news is he's out of a boot. He's at camp. He's not in a boot anymore.
But we don't think he's playing this week. We still have an undrafted free agent at left guard.
There you go.
We still have an undrafted free agent backing up Ryan Kelly. I don't think he's on IR. Let me check real quick. That's a good question, though.
But all I know is he's not in a boot at camp today. That's what the Indy Star guys were tweeting. So that's, I guess, positive because he's not hurt.
That's better than
hurt
not.
Her.
There's no question. It's better than not in a boot. Let's just say that. I don't care how precautionary you say it is. It's still
right
a boot. But, yeah.
It's closer to being back than it is.
As you mentioned, we are now short a body at that position.
That's right.
To begin with, because they didn't replace him immediately. So they've got to look at whether they want to replace him on there or not. He is not listed on reserved injured at this point or the physically unable to perform list.
Right.
So he's active because they're assuming he's coming back soon, just like Andrew Luck.
Well, they don't have to wait 6 weeks. That's the good news. So
right,
they chose not to put him on that because they saw some positive
signs.
You got
to keep guys inactive every week anyways and can't play that week but are still on your active roster. So, I mean, there you go. But now you bring in some other names that nobody's ever heard of, like Adam Redmond and Ian Silberman, potentially, and Deshaun Bond will end up back in here. And, you know, he started last game also. So it's just kind of it's a running joke in Indianapolis until it's not. And how do you make it not is, I guess, time. Because as you said, you know, we've had trades for offensive linemen. We've had a free agent offensive lineman brought in. They haven't worked out real well either.
Yeah, Tuesday, signed a wide receiver and a linebacker to the practice squad.
Yeah, they put a tackle on the practice squad a day before that, too. I mean, look, you're going with Joe Hegg and LaRaven Clark at this point in time and waiting for Ryan Kelly to get back in there. So they must like at least those two guys. They like whatever his name is.
Yeah,
they like him somehow.
Vuji.
So, again, they like him. They know better than I do, but they like him. So
I opined on Monday that if you're in a quarterback league, and you don't have a quarterback, you have major problems. And it's not that the Colts don't have a quarterback. It's the Colts don't have Andrew Luck. That's the problem.
If
Frank Gore getting you 10 carries for 42 yards is uplifting for you, okay, that's great. You got beat 46-9. So tell me what the good part about that is again.
Right.
T.Y. Hilton can't drop balls. You can't have Adam Vinatieri missing stuff. You can't have the head coach asleep at the wheel, not challenging plays at the 1 yard line. There's plenty of things to go around here. And you know what? Is some of it fixable? Sure, it's fixable. There's going to be a different scheme, as you mentioned. You're not going to be facing Wade Phillips, who knows. Is pretty good at this stuff. But you're still going to have Jacoby Brissett or Scott Tolzien as your quarterback.
Yeah.
And those are the facts.
Yeah.
And one of those guys is going to hand off to 34-year-old Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, they're going to hand off to Marlon Mack.
Behind an offensive line that's missing
that
two
starters.
That we
just told you
minimum.
How that's going to work out. So yeah. I don't know and understand how you get your passing game going if you can't run. You can't get your running game going if you can't block. And if you give up 300 yards passing to a guy who entered Sunday's game 0-7 in his NFL career
– Yeah. Again,
well, what does Bruce Arians do for a living? Does he do defense? No, he's an offensive coach. And he's going to be licking his chops saying, well, geez, the Rams are in our division.
Yeah.
We see them all the time. And they just dismantled what was on the field for the Colts.
And on the defensive side of the ball, you got no pass rush. You got no pass rushers that show up. Your safeties, your starting safeties are hurt or out at this point.
Other than
one
that,
of them is.
Good team.
And your corners are hurt. I mean, your whole back end of your defense is playing young guys. So there isn't a whole lot to go by right now. And oh, by the way, this was supposed to be the fun part. You could skate through this sort of, so to speak. You know, you got the Browns and the 49ers coming up who are as bad as anybody and were every bit as bad as the Rams last year. So, you had three of those teams in your first five and you got beat by 37 in the first game.
Now, there's two things that can happen on Sunday. Number one, the Colts are going to play better because I don't think physically they could play any worse.
And you've seen this happen all the time.
It
up
does.
And down and
the
up
biggest
and down.
Overreaction is you've been sitting around waiting for football for 9 months, and when your team lays an egg in week one, everybody goes crazy.
They deserve this one. They deserve this.
And they're going to deserve it if they play poorly again in week two.
There's no question they deserve
it. But you know
football.
What? They need to play better. Guys need to show up. Guys need to do their job and play better. And that's how you get people off your case. You get people off your case in the NFL by winning football games, playing hard, and getting beat. Somebody beats you. Nobody gets mad when you get beat.
Right.
When you lose.
When you stink the joint up.
When you stink the place up and don't make tackles and don't do assignments, drop balls, whatever it may, duck out of cut, don't get hit.
Right.
That's
fall
what
down and fumble
that's
on the way
what
down.
Bothers people.
Yeah.
And your fans pay your bills, folks.
Yeah.
TV, they stop watching.
Right.
TV contracts go in the toilet.
What was the percentage you said that this game is going to be?
3% of the national sent to the country, the Cardinals.
He's going to see this game.
And the Colts. Well, we will, and we're going to watch every minute of it.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to have it for you here on WGCL starting at noon on Sunday. Remember, Reds coming up here at 8:15, so don't go too far. And Friday night, high school football back again. South is hosting the Cardinals of Southport. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, 7:30 is kickoff for that. We will return on Monday for a long In the Zone. So join us then. You've been in this zone.